4DJC, Marjorie.
N4DJC, I believe it is. This is KB4CBA. My name is David. How you doing this evening?
Doing pretty good, Dave. Where are you headed to hit some tennis balls?
How did you guess that, Jerry?
You need to go to the circuit, I think.
That was good enough. But there's too many people out there that can hit a tennis ball better than I can, so I wouldn't stand a chance.
You know, I used to enjoy watching it, even though I'm not very good, and it wasn't very good any time, but I used to enjoy watching it a lot. I remember I went to, I don't know what it's called now, but it used to be it was a good off tournament down in Harbor Town at Hilton Head. I used to go down there, you know, not every year, but every year or so. I had a friend of mine had a condo down there, so we'd go down there for the tournament. And, of course, during, I want to say it was in April. It, I think it might have been before the Masters, probably. I don't remember now, but it's been many, many years. But we go down there, and all the tennis people would be there, Connors and I was on the 18th green in the stands there and had Yvonne Gulligong sitting next to me. I didn't realize her skin looked like leather. She'd been out in the sun. That's been 30 years ago or more, I guess. But she had all the gold hanging off her. And one of the guys told me, he said, you know you're sitting next to Yvonne Gulligong? I said, nope. I said, I suspect it's somebody important because she had enough gold and diamonds dripping off her that she was a lot better situation than I was.
Showing off all that jewelry, huh?
Yeah. I have, of course, my running hard days have been gone years and years ago, but there used to be a place down in Hilton Head called White Parrot, one of these places we had to wait to get in, had food, of course, you know, alcohol too. And I was there with one of my friends, and we went in, and I said, man, this place is just, you know, too rich for my blood. I mean, we sat down at one table, and the guy said, you can't sit at this table. I said, why? I said, it's reserved. I said, who's it reserved for? And it walks in Jimmy Brown, the football player. And he signed, we had him sign a couple of napkins before we left. But when I worked for a textile company, a large textile company, for a number of years, and one of the vendors we bought a lot of texturized polyester from had tickets to the U.S. Open. And they invited us one year, and I couldn't convince my plant manager to go. And if he didn't go, I didn't get the U.S. Man, I missed a great shot. I'd love them. They had great seats, too.
Hey, that's nice when you can do that. Sometimes some of my wife's bosses will give her tickets to some at the Peace Center or something like that, and you know, if they can't go or they don't want to go or whatever, and so. It's a nice surprise every now and then.
It's when the weather's good and it's not terribly hot. And it's a lot of fun to watch somebody that is really good, especially when they're that close. It makes it's a lot different than watching them on TV. You know, we used to watch them a lot. I mean, back 30 miles, probably closer to 40 years ago now, but it's been a long time. I guess it's been 35, I suppose, but I always enjoyed watching them play and had friends there. I was never good enough to play much at all. My wife and I used to play some, but we were never, neither one of us, we were less than casual.
What you're seeing on TV is, it's a lifetime of hard work. I mean, they put in the hours, and it's not just tennis. I mean, you know, they work out, and so it's make it look easy sometimes, but but anyway, but they do a lot of preparation for that, and you know, it takes a lot of their time.
It's kind of like one of the guys that my son-in-law is a good golfer. My dad was a really good golfer, and I was a average or less than average golfer. But one of the guys that was a good friend of mine, who was a really good golfer, would tell me, you know, so what do you do before you start playing, you know, for the year? He didn't play the round. He said, well, first thing I do is I go out and hit some balls. I said, how many do you hit before you start raising? Usually about 3,000. So he was at that hit 3,000 golf balls before he started to play for the year. That's the kind of, and he was good. He was, he was probably scratched, but he carried about a 2 handicap, I think.
I tell you, I admire golfers. I tried one summer, and I started out pretty good, and the longer I played, the worse I got. And before the summer was over, I was done. I mean, I was so frustrated with it, and I'd had people that play very well, you know, invite me to play with them, and they'd give me pointers, and I just couldn't, I couldn't get a grip. How about that on the game?
Those things are just like anything else. The best thing to do with golf is get a pro to really show you how to show your grip, start you out, and develop that muscle memory is really important on it. But some people, me for instance, I just don't have the persistence to play. I mean, it takes some long to play. You have 9 holes or 18 holes, and plus it's so expensive. Or, you know, when I was playing it, I always thought it was pretty expensive to play. And being a member of a club was really expensive if you got into a good club. But I know we were the same guy. He and I were North Carolina. I can't remember which course it was. It was one of the good courses in North Carolina. And we were on the third hole. And he developed kind of a duck hook on a one iron. And that caddy said, we were walking, we had to have caddies, he didn't have cars. His caddy told me, I think you need to put that club up. And I told him, I said, that's probably the least expensive piece of advice you'll get. But he just couldn't hit that club that day. He insisted on playing it. I thought it was funny. He'd been playing all these years, and even the best can develop a problem until they can get somebody who really knows their those swings and how to create it. They'll get worse instead of better. And that's about what I did.
The guys at the sports club, they'll give me pointers every now and then. I don't get as many as I used to, but you know, I'll take any advice from these guys, because they're all good players, and I'm rated a 3-0, and I'm happy with that. And at my age, there's really not much of a way I can improve. So, but at least I'm consistent.
Something about a golf ball, something about hitting a stationary ball that's just, it's not like, you know, it doesn't require a reaction like a tennis ball or baseball does, or any sport like that. It's just sitting there and be able to hit it with a club and hit it, you know, 300 yards and get it, you know, between, you know, a 25-yard pass on its side, I mean 25 yards or so, it's really difficult. It's just a whole different mindset I think you have to get through to be able to do that consistently well. And one of my bosses, I mean, I guess he's still living there, but he's about 15 years older than I am, and he was just, he loved playing golf. I mean, I've never seen anybody love to play golf as much as he did. He told me, if I ever get a point where I can play, you know, carry about a 18 or 19 handicap, I'd be happy. I said, well, you need to go see a pro. He never would go see a pro, though. I said, if you go see a pro, I said, as much as he played, I think he would have been a lot happier had he done it early on. But he made up his mind that he could correct himself, and I said, that's the wrong thing to do in golf.
I can hit the repeater, KB4CBA. Well, like I said, I just admire people that play golf because I can't. It's just like violin players. I admire them too because I'm a musician, and I took in college we had to take or know how to play all the instruments in the orchestra, and you had to know the ranges and their, you know, their limitations and that kind of thing. And I just, we had to play each instrument or try to play it. And the violin was just, that's the most unforgiving instrument I've ever put in my hands. I tell you, it was just, it sounded like somewhere between a cat hollering and somebody pulling their fingernails down the blackboard.
That's a pretty difficult instrument to play. I mean, it's on the range of 1 to 10, it's probably about a 15. My daughter was, she didn't play in college, but she played in high school, and she was a good, she played piccolo and flute and a couple other instruments too. And later on, she learned, you know, she worked for a music store here in town when she was going to school, when she was going to high school, and learned how to repair instruments, and she did that for a long time. Even after college, she'd go in there and go back and repair her instruments. And my wife played flute, piccolo, and her sister did the same thing at Georgia University Band. And her daughter also plays the flute and piccolo. So we got a bunch of digging flute players. I think both of them probably play the piano too, but I keep playing piano. But the only thing I can do is play a saxophone and a clarinet and a set of drums occasionally.
Yeah, I played clarinet all through high, from fifth grade through high school. I was drum major for 2 years. I was Eastside High School's first drum major. The first 2 years they were open. Tells you how old I am. And I could have been three years in a row, but my senior year they made me choose between band and chorus, and I chose chorus. So anyway, because voice is my principal instrument. So, but I picked up saxophone since but in the last few years, and oboe, and I couldn't play a set of drums if I had to. So if you can play drums, I admire you for that, because when I try to throw that third rhythm in there or element in there, my brain just locks up. It's like, you're going to do what?
And in thinking about that, that's it's hard to get both feet and both hands working all at the same time. And that's another one that I had a really good instructor. He was a great drummer. He played in multiple bands over the years, and he gave me some lessons, and he taught me a lot. But I wasn't trained as a drummer in the like in high school band or anything like that. I picked it up later, but the guy that really taught me what little I know about it was a great, great rock drummer, and he was exceptionally good. I mean, he could do anything that the guys do now. He was doing it then. He just didn't have as many drums. And I had another friend of mine lived in the same apartment complex that we did back in the 70s. He was probably one of the best amateur drummers I ever seen. He had a set of sonars, the old ones that had the fiberglass shells that swooped out of the bottom. That guy could play really well. He was exceptional. And I don't think he had any training at all, but he just had a natural talent for it, I suppose, N4DJC Friday.
We had, in high school, we had a drummer that I really looked up to. He was just really excellent. He made all-state band, and he was really good. And I've known a few drummers in my lifetime, but they were really good, but I'm not connected with any of them right now, really, directly, anyway. Well, Jerry, I'm going to jump out of here. I'm sitting here between the white lines and the sports club, and my game didn't start at 6:30, but I'm gonna go on inside and get warmed up. So I will talk to you later. You have a good evening, and enjoy talking with you. And I'll stick around for your final KB4CBA.
Okay, Dave. You have a good evening, and play well, and hopefully weather's not going to be too terribly hot for you. Feels pretty toasty in here. Have a good evening. Enjoy talking with you again. N4DJC clear.
The Zulu for Mike.